my course tonight, you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like for us to think about prayer. It's such an important part of this new life that we have in Christ. I ran across just a thought on prayer that impressed me. You know, the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And I have no question in my mind but that they had heard the Lord pray. We want to learn to pray the way you pray. And, you know, as you read the scriptures and you think about the line of thought that is pursued in scripture that concerns righteousness and holiness and living your new life in Christ in a way that honors the Lord, you want to do it the way He did it. You know, again, you think about what would Jesus do? How did He do that? And this thought said, "Lord, teach me to pray." Is that a proper prayer for us? "Lord, teach me to pray." Do I know a whole lot about prayer? Do you know a whole lot about prayer? Do you have to read your prayers from a prayer book? Are those prayers you make, do they come out of the depth of your soul, and is the Spirit of God, is He the one that generates those thoughts? And the prayers that you make, does it have a divine source? And I'm pretty sure most of us would say, "I need to learn to pray. I want to learn to pray better than I am praying, and more often." Let it be as Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, "Pray without ceasing." Have a constant attitude of prayer, realizing, as I was reading this, it just came to overwhelm me how much power there is in prayer. You know, they prayed. The place trembled. It was like an earthquake was shaking the place. The power of prayer. And as God's people, we have that privilege. So, learning how to pray is all important. We may sometimes just like little one-sentence prayers. Well, if it comes, if it's generated by the Spirit of God, if it has the proper motivation, then great. Help me to pray. Right away, I've already acknowledged for me, I need a lot of help in learning how to pray. Pray more effectively. Be sure that I make it a part of my life to pray. I'm sure the Apostle Paul was a man of deep prayer. Prayer was constantly in his life. Everywhere he went, every circumstance of life, prayer, prayer. Oh Lord, lead, guide, and direct. And use me in prayer for the glory of your name. The furtherance of the kingdom of God could be achieved through our prayers. And we'll see this because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul focuses on. Things that are necessary if that prayer is to be powerful, if it's to be a proper prayer, and have a deeper understanding of the fact that he that would regard prayer as being just something casual to the point that there's a verse in James that says, "You have not because you ask not, but what what you ask for, you want to consume your lust upon it. To know that there's some other motivation that prompted me to pray so that I could do something that I didn't have any business doing and was not for the glory of God. So you begin to see this is important. I read that statement, and at the end I said, amen. I said it out loud, amen. Paul is teaching that I believe that it is the man that is to take the place of prayer in public places. The woman is to be silent. But men are to offer up prayers, not for ourselves, but for others. That's a part of what we're about to read about. So let's read these first 8 verses, and then we'll make some comments. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to unto the knowledge of the truth. For there's just one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Our Father in heaven, as we read the words of the Apostle Paul as recorded in this, the Word of God, we just pray that the Spirit of God will give enlightenment and help. We as those that are here this evening to pray, to cry out to Thee for the needs of others that we know at this time may be hurting. It may be a physical ailment. It may be a problem that they're facing in life. It may be that circumstances in the world are very difficult. Could be financial problems. Lord, there are all kind of problems that beset your people. We're not immune to all of the things that are unpleasant in the course of life. So, blessed Lord, as we gather and look at these scriptures and as we spend our time in prayer, hear our cries, Lord, and grant, we pray Thee, that glory and honor will be brought to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are certain goals, without any question, that Paul was seeking to achieve and what he had to say in these comments. Prayer should be a vital part of every one of our lives. If you think just for a moment, and we'll try to narrow it down to where you can really get it in focus, how many times have you prayed today? Has there been any occasion that arose in which you saw a need for prayer? Right then. And I've learned not to wait. Don't wait. Oh, you can keep your eyes wide open and keep going right on down the road and say, oh, God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, bring about a resolve of that matter. That's a prayer that's made now. It cries out because we feel the desperation of so many circumstances that are in the life that need to be changed. Not wait until tomorrow or say, well, when I get back home, I'm going to pray about that. No. How many times have you felt the need for prayer today? And how many times have you gone right then and cried out to the Lord for help. That's the way he wants us to do it. I'm persuaded of that. Don't wait. Because so often mind wanders and we forget all about how vital and important it was for us to call upon him. You know, I think parents sometimes are delighted when their children call on them. Help me, Mama. Help me, Daddy. Well, the Heavenly Father likes for his children to call on him. He wants us to express our confidence in him. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Oh, yes, he is. And it involves all of the circumstances of life, and prayer is what he has provided for us to communicate with him. And it is the Spirit of God, the one who fills us, empowers us to word our prayers to the Lord in just the way that it would be suitable for the ear of God. Not some ranting, raging, or some foolishness. You know, books have been written about all the foolish things that people say in prayer. No, let it be something that you are fully assured is ordered of God. And when the Spirit of God is ordering our prayer life, I can assure you, it is headed in the right direction. I have found that sometimes this is one of those misconceptions in life. Religion, as such, religion, an organized system of approaching God through ritual and so many things, sometimes it misses the point. So far, it's just ridiculous. And when you come to the matter of prayer, this is an activity for all of God's people. You know, I've heard people say, my mama does all the praying in our family. She's the prayer warrior. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? No, prayer is something that God has provided for in the way of an opportunity to approach, cry out to him. What if you had children and only one of them was a spokesman among five kids? The others say nothing. This one is the only one that communicates with the parents. That wouldn't be right, would it? And what about so many of God's people? And I've already challenged you with a thought that you may be searching your heart right now to think if you offered up any prayer today. No, it's for all of us as God's children to cry out to him. He certainly singles out special emphasis here, which I've often quoted, and I claim it. And it is very, very important. The importance of men is emphasized in these verses, that it's the man that takes the public place when it comes to prayer. Many places, women in fellowships that I've been in, many women are called upon to pray. That's not according to scriptures. Even though it is practiced, even though it sounds good that someone would pray and maybe pray a beautiful prayer. But it's not God's will. That's not what God planned. That man, the man, is the key figure again. And that needs to be recognized. If we follow this, and maybe again soon when we're taking this up, we'll go into the latter part of this and the role of women and how important it is. Doesn't mean that women can't pray. But publicly, those that stand out in the public place, it's for men, church leaders, the heads of households. You know, you form some opinion. This is personal. When you hear one of these men get up and pray, you form an opinion about him. You say, that was a beautiful prayer. You may say, That was a mighty short prayer. That was a long prayer he made. There are all kind of judgment calls made when people pray. Some of the brethren, I love to hear that man pray. I've heard that many times. Love to hear that man pray. Well, this praying, it is truly important, but here he is singling out leaders. And it goes right to the top. He talks about praying for those that are in high places, and we dare not limit this to just high places. All that are in authority. Kings. Our president. Do you think it's important to pray for our president? We're encouraged to pray for those that are in authority over us. Do you think it's important to pray for the spiritual leaders in this little fellowship we have here? It seems to me that this is emphasizing without any question. We are to pray for those that take any role of leadership that are worthy of our prayers. We should pray for them. That's God's will. Now, you may not have a high opinion of that person, but you be very careful what your judgment is, what it's based upon. Because this is all important. Because it says that with this special emphasis, it has something in view that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, the older you get, you like for things to be peaceable. You don't like loud things, boisterous things, where there's just a lot of stuff going on. For an older person, it gets on their nerves. They really don't like that. Well, think about the world today. Paul says later, he says, the latter days will be characterized by perilous times. And if you examine that whole thought, it seems like things are out of control. And it seems like that there are things happening that create unrest. Are you uneasy because of what you've heard about your money being in the bank? I'm told it's safe if you're just a depositor. Now, if you've got millions, you better go home and see how you got it invested. It might not be as safe as you think it is. But we want to live quiet and peaceable lives. You know, I believe that Daniel in the lion's den had perfect peace. He laid down and went to sleep. Those lions were all around him. Didn't bother Daniel. Man of prayer. A man of God. You know, even in the circumstances in life today, being what they are, causing unrest, causing deep concern, you can have perfect peace. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, once you begin to pick up on what is available to you as a believer from the Word of God, you realize, man, you know, God is taking care of me. Even in all these circumstances, I'm not a victim. No, I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me and gives Himself for me. Victory, even when it appears that everything is crumbling around you. So this is kind of what Paul starts out with this. As followers of the Lord Jesus, we are to devote ourselves to prayer and try to learn to get a grip upon this business of praying. I started out by saying, lead me, teach me to pray, help me to pray. And I want to be more consciously aware of the value of prayer. It has power. Have you ever thought for a moment that somebody as insignificant as one of us has at our disposal prayer, and we can move the hand of God? A nobody. but I belong to Him. And I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And when I pray, I move that omnipotent hand. The hand of God is moving. We can move that hand tonight in this prayer meeting as we pray together, as we bond together as one. We're crying out to God for mercy and grace and blessing, and He will provide. The second part of this section, I believe, when we come to the section that Paul says, not only do all people need to be praying, and although it can make a big difference between peace and tumult, Paul wants us to believe that God hears such prayer. And he wants us to believe that our influence in prayer can touch the life of someone else. You know, I have people call me up and say, I want you to pray for me. I feel unworthy sometimes. They would think of, I said, I will do my very best. I will pray for you. I'm complimented by the fact that they said, I want you to pray for me. I'm complimented. I want to be deserving of their confidence and their trust in me. And we should be. Have you ever had anyone call you up and say, I want you to pray for me? I tell you, it makes you feel good. Somebody has observed something that you're doing that must be right. And then in praying, it's always in furthering what God wants to do in the body of Christ today. It's for a further development of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All the other things will be added to you. So that's how important this is. Not only have I moved the omnipotent hand of God, but I'm furthering the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. That tells me that we're in the will of God. Man, that's nice. That good, that perfect will of God. My Lord used that expression a lot. Thy will be done. Even in the face of sometimes circumstances that meant He was going to suffer. Suffer like no one ever suffered. And He said, thy will be done. We learn to pray that way. Thy will be done, Lord. Somebody might already have an agenda and they know what they want the answer to be. They haven't regarded any of the circumstances. They haven't weighed anything about it being for the glory of God. I just want it. That's James again, consuming it upon your lust. I like the idea of peace, and I want peace. I pray for it. Certainly, when I get down to this last verse, and we have to take into account that our Lord Jesus Christ, He gave of Himself for us, and He brought us into this place of rich blessing. Paul said, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. This man's focus was upon the truth. This man's focus was upon, he must have the preeminent place in all that we do. And you have to weigh that a little bit and think about it, and it dawns on you, he must have first place. He has to have first place. You know, if you're not careful, sometimes you have an agenda and you're number one. It's what I want. Or maybe it's what someone else has requested that you pray for. I want number one to have what he wants. I want number one to see realized in his life what I'm asking you to pray for. Paul had a different view. In prayer, I ask that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without any wrath and doubting. No man with dirty hands has any business approaching the throne of grace. You won't be heard anyway. Dirty hands have no place in the presence of God. If you lift your hands up to God, you be sure they're clean hands. You say, what do you mean by clean hands? I mean, you are not covered with sins. You're not a man that is governed by the flesh. I'm talking about having a heart and a soul that is directed toward God and in tune with the perfect will of God. That's what I'm talking about. Men with holy hands are to lift up those hands. You know why some men won't lift their hands up in prayer? They won't pray? A lot of times people know what they are. I heard not long ago that said, a lady said this in a meeting. I used to have confidence in this person as a believer, but I sat near him one Sunday morning. I had been told some things, but he still had the odor of the tap room on him. There's no holy hands there. We don't want to stumble people. We don't want to hinder the hand of God moving and blessing. Clean hands. Paul talks about this in the Corinthian epistle. God may use a cracked vessel, but he won't ever use a dirty vessel. Let us have clean hands. Let us have a testimony that's unblemished. And let's realize that we as believers can move the hand of God.